everyone, and welcome to the Brain Yield Podcast. I'm your host, Vab, and this is...
The Guy.
The Guy.
The Guy.
Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome, 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 guys.
How's your week been, Guy?
I've had a good one. What about you?
Well, I have been tapping into DeFi and institutional lending. I'm thinking... It's a topic, very cool. It's a topic that I'm thinking that we can get into maybe in a few weeks.
Yeah, for sure.
This institutional money has to get in here to pump some bags.
Yeah, right.
Today's episode, though, focuses on mental health and getting wrecked.
Okay.
A topic I think we can all relate to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my wallet looks pretty wrecked.
Yeah, so... All right, so you had a quote by... White Rabbit, was it?
Start off with White Rabbit. He is active on Twitter.
Okay.
So also shout out to you, White Rabbit.
Hopefully. Does he have a lot of followers? Should we plug his Twitter?
You know, he has 130-something followers, but so what? We show love to everybody here at Brain Yield.
Oh, okay.
Don't be hating White Rabbit.
No, I love White Rabbit. I love White Rabbit.
Okay, That's my boy. August 4th, he tweets... I joke around a lot on here. I've been seeing many posts about depression and mental health. I lost some good people in my life to this. Mates, it is not worth it. If stocks, NFTs, and cryptos are bringing you into an unhealthy mindset, it's okay to take a loss and walk away.
Yeah.
Beautifully said.
Yeah, very well said.
I mean, how many of us... including myself, we didn't walk away. We still haven't walked away. We're strapped onto that roller coaster. And we're just getting wrecked daily.
You're strapped onto the roller coaster even though the ride ended.
Yeah.
You're still there. Like, you gotta go home.
There's a home to go back to because we lost it. Can you relate to that? I mean, you've been for like a decade.
I can definitely relate to taking loss, experiencing failure, or just having things not work out the way you planned. Definitely. That's just the life of an investor, life of a trader, life of an entrepreneur. That's what it is.
You know what? I think with crypto, it has something to do with the addiction. The addiction personality. And it feeds onto your addiction. I mean, I'm not addictive. I don't have that addiction personality.
We all have addictive traits.
But yeah, I was gonna go. Yeah.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Nothing. Just like that, everybody has some addictive trait.
You know?
You might think you're not addicted, but if you drink coffee every day, you're addicted to that. If you eat,
If you're sugar,
right.
Anything.
Sure.
You become addicted.
You can be addicted to many, many things.
Yeah. But with crypto, I think. It's two things to this. Addiction and gambling. Because Uniswap became the casino.
Right.
And if you ever go to the casino, you see this play out in the slot machines. When you bet a quarter and you somehow make it into like 1,000x. You put that quarter in and then you make $2,500.
Right.
And then you keep on playing. And then the $2,500 becomes $2,500. And then you're back to that quarter and you're like, oh man, like let me just keep on pumping quarters in. And hey man, it's been a few hours. I think it's time for you to go home.
Yeah.
You go home. But with crypto, you don't have to go to the casino. The casino's on your phone.
The casino is your home.
The casino is your home.
Right.
And then you have also
I don't want to associate crypto with gambling or casinos either.
No, it's not
that crypto is a casino or that everybody involved in crypto is a gambler.
Yeah.
It's just that it's easy for people to experience it that way, especially at the beginning. Yeah.
But you know what? I know that you play poker. You know, I myself play poker.
Yeah.
You've been to casinos. I find the poker room to be the experienced traders, the blue chips. I find the slot machines in crypto to be all the shit coins.
Well,
and a lot of us were in the slots.
Yeah, I mean, you also have degenerate gambling going on in poker, at the poker table. It's just about, like, the participant. Degenerate gambler in a casino plays all the games.
Yeah.
They play poker, they'll play blackjack, they'll hit the roulette table, they'll hit the slot machines. But there is the difference between a professional gambler, somebody that makes a living doing that, you know, and investing in a way you could say is professional gambling.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just risk management. You're making bets and then managing the outcomes, you know, with a set of rules or whatever. But the difference is that a degenerate gambler has no rules, has no plan, has no edge, has no edge, and they are just playing the lottery. They're gambling.
Do you think, though, it's...
Whereas, like, a professional has all those tools in his tool belt and can, you know, and can use it to extract whatever the profit is they're looking out of the market, or in the case of a gambler in a casino, out of the house.
Do you think also it makes it, it's more dangerous, I feel, in crypto, because there's a thing called leverage trading.
Yeah.
And many people dab into leverage trading, not even knowing anything about technical analysis, about charts, about nothing. And they just dive into this, betting on things that they had no idea.
Yeah, well, the way that I think about leverage is just that leverage is just a tool. You know, it's a financial instrument that professional money managers use to manage money, mostly for hedging, actually.
Yeah.
Not even for taking directional bets and like risking, but actually reducing risk. Like, leverage is used for money managers to reduce risk. But when you put, like, such a tool, such a powerful tool in the hands of the uninitiated, in the hands of a rookie, in the hands of a gambler, in the hands of a degen, it turns into a very dangerous weapon. Could cause self-harm.
So you have leverage trading. You have 24/7 Uniswap. Shitcoins pumping every minute.
Yeah.
It's just a recipe. It's just nonstop. It's just nonstop.
It's a casino like no other.
I want to say I found a survey done February 2022 this year.
Yeah.
CNBC. They asked 750 crypto investors. And they basically said that a third actually knew very little about what they were investing in. They were just, like, they would follow callers on crypto Twitter, and they will say, hey, bet on this, and then they will just trade on it.
Right.
You know, so you have, again, you have that 24/7 slot. You have access to leverage trading.
Yeah, it's also a 24/7 market.
24/7 market.
It's like a casino that never closes, too.
Never closes.
So, I mean, you can imagine, like, Some of the side effects of this is, like, sleep deprivation. Also, like, you're probably not eating right. You have nutritional issues because you're locked in because it never closes.
And also,
nobody ever comes and tells you, sir, you need to go home.
Ma'am, I'm home. Yeah. Because you are home.
You are home, yeah.
Not only that, I'm thinking also perhaps how many people abuse drugs during this to stay up.
Oh, that too. Oh, that's another issue. Yeah. To substance abuse. Either substance. To cope with, like, the loss or to enhance, like, your ability to continue participating, staying up late, not resting, you know.
So with all of this in mind, you know, I looked at what happened in November. For those of you who just got into crypto, just got into Bitcoin, welcome, by the way. And let me share with you what happened in November, just in case you don't know. I think you do, though. November Bitcoin hits $69,000. But sadly, it dropped to over 40% within a few months. When I looked at the top in November and I started looking at this chart, just everything crashing. My wallet looks depressing, but I'm looking at how we're all getting mentally wrecked completely. And by the way, you called the top in November.
I did. I did. I mean, it wasn't just me that did that.
There were many people...
in the market, on Twitter and YouTube and other mediums, sounding those alarm bells at that time when the market started rolling over. And, you know, more experienced people, they were able to anticipate that.
Yeah, I remember you calling me, telling me, hey, Vab, it's time. And I was
it had been 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, it was at that point, by the time that the Bitcoin double top happened, the cryptocurrency market had been on a 2 year just upward run, 24 months straight of gains.
I think for many of us, we were saying, no, there's
so
no
depending
way.
On what time, depending, you as a participant, at what time you come in during that timeline, you're coming in at different stages of this thing, you know. If you came in, the people that were in from the very beginning, they did better than others because their gains were obviously larger and it was easier for them to take profit. People that coming in at the tail end of it are hoping to get those massive gains.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when they don't, they begin making all the bad decisions that snowball into getting wrecked.
Yeah, and I got the call.
But it's an issue of like when you come into what phase of the cycle are you coming in?
Well, many of us came in November. Well, the ones who did come in November.
What happens is that the majority of participants don't really come in until it's mature.
Yeah.
Because people, it's just psychological. Like right now, for example, right now is a great time to buy crypto.
I mean, no one's talking about it.
But nobody's buying crypto, right? Nobody wants, or everybody's afraid, or fear is dominating the market and keeping people away from making the sound decision of, like, accumulating at this moment in time when it's the best time. And people are going to wait until the market recovers, and they're going to wait until an uptrend is formed. But by then, you're not coming in at the ideal time. You're coming in at a later stage where the amount of gains that are left are limited.
Yeah.
And the amount of time that is left of bullishness in the market is also limited. And that plays a huge role.
You know, looking back, I remember in November, man, crypto was everywhere. I remember Yahoo News, CNBC, my auntie was talking about crypto.
Yeah.
There's a thing in marketing, which, you know, I'm going to use it now as my next top. That's how I know it's the next top strategy. Thing in marketing that says...
Tell me your secrets.
The right term, but it takes seven contacts for you to make a purchase. So if you see it on the train, the ad, if you hear it on the news,
you have
if
you to
see
have it seven the points of exposure
to finally make that purchase.
Right. On average.
Yeah, on average.
On average. Right.
I think actually now it's 10 because you're bombarded with so much.
Okay, yeah.
In November, I remember hearing and seeing crypto everywhere. And I should have said, you know what? It is the top. But everybody on YouTube called a six-figure Bitcoin.
There's also herd mentality in markets.
Yeah.
I understand that as well. One of the things that you need to develop to do well in markets is the ability to be a contrarian, you know, to spot the moment in time when most people are leaning one way.
Yeah.
And you should be doing the opposite. And it's difficult because it goes against the human natural instinct of following the herd.
Yeah.
You know, this is we're pack animals. You know, we feel comfortable in herds.
Yeah.
We feel comfortable following large groups, and we are out of a comfort zone when we leave the herd.
Yeah.
When we do something different from the rest of the social group. But in investing, it's absolutely critical to be able to do that.
It is difficult because you're just that odd person, and especially when you are involved in these crypto communities of these projects which you invest in, Diamond Hand, HODL, Don't Sell, Don't Listen to Them, Hold. And what happens? You're left holding, and if you're still holding, and you right now are in August, you've been holding your bags for over a year.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel right now to be holding.
Yeah.
Because again, you follow that crowd. And the right way of doing it is like what the guy said, just go the opposite way always. Right now, as you said, it's time to buy.
Like, just right now is a perfect example. You know,
you
have the majority of people afraid to invest, but it's actually the best time to do so. You know, this is a time to be a contrarian.
Yeah. So now, let's go into something that I'm seeing a lot of in crypto communities, in Telegram, in social media.
And what's that?
I'm seeing a lot of people post things on depression, suicide. The Celsius and Luna debacle. Oh man, I went into Telegram during that time and to certain groups, and a lot of people were talking about how they wanted to end their life because a lot of their savings was tied there.
Right.
They lost everything basically.
Yeah.
And also they didn't, if they had a spouse, they didn't tell their spouse. They didn't know how to tell their spouse.
Yeah.
And there were stories, of course, from the media of people that have committed suicide, that jumped off bridges. Because they lost everything. And then it hit home when one of the chats, the mods pinned a suicide hotline number and website because there were so many comments. Then back in June, 2 months ago, as a mod of some groups, I started getting...
You started getting like private messages?
I started getting private messages. Hey, Vab, you know, I invested in this project. What's going on? I feel depressed. I feel hopeless. I had thoughts of suicide. And I myself...
What did you tell them? How did you respond to those messages?
I basically told them, this is not the end. This is not the end of your life. I cannot guarantee that you're going to make back your money.
Yeah.
But what I can tell you is that this is not the end for you. So just, you know, just stay with me. And I will check up on them. I will check up on them daily. Mm. And then some of them would just not write back. And hopefully you're still there.
Hopefully.
Man, yeah. This is just such a fucking crazy world.
Yeah. What, crypto?
Yeah, this is... I love it.
Yeah.
You know, so I became emotionally, I guess, attached to some of these groups. And I worry a lot because a lot of crypto, a lot of these communities, I haven't looked at the numbers and the figures, but I would say it's men between the ages of 20, late 40s, a good number.
Yeah.
And it's funny because a few weeks ago, there was this wrestler. His name is Patty. Mm-hmm. He's a mixed martial arts fighter.
I don't know Patty, but...
Well, he won. And at the end, he gave a speech about mental health. And one of his friends actually had just committed suicide.
Oh.
And he says something...
Because of crypto or...
No. Okay. Mental health.
All right.
He goes into, and I quote, "Mental health is the biggest killer of men aged 21 through 45.
Yeah. So, actually, I saw something...
Yeah.
That some sort of government agency did a study recently that there's been an increase, like a 50% increase in deaths for people aged like 18 to 40. I don't know if it's mental health related or not, but it might be.
Yeah, mental health is really a big issue right now.
And it's also larger than just crypto. We also have a lot of societal stuff going on.
Yeah, that would be a whole...
That's a whole other thing.
And actually, an entire podcast within itself.
Yeah, yeah.
But
you were saying...
So I want to go into our stories of getting wrecked. And maybe that will help out somebody out there who's listening. Because we are still here. And we're optimistic. And we keep grinding.
Yeah.
And this is a long journey for us.
Yeah. Oh, it's a never-ending journey.
So let's... You, the OG,
yeah,
man,
well,
here with the decade experience.
Well, I started investing and trading in 2008,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a trial by fire, because when I started getting into markets, it was a market crash.
Yeah,
I got into markets when the market crashed, and you know, I experienced those first five, seven years of investing and trading. It was all just a up and down roller coaster. I had success, but also failure. And just learning how to develop the skill sets required,
you
know, which is mostly just patience and discipline, a stoic attitude. If you're familiar with stoicism, it's a philosophy of denying yourself pleasure and comfort in order to be able to mentally deal with the realities of the world, the harsh realities of the world.
When you say that, I picture a man beating himself with a whip.
Like self-flagellating.
Yeah.
No, it's not quite like self-flagellation, you know. You don't have to take it that far. But it's just, you know, prepping yourself before engaging for the real possibility of failure and having a plan for dealing with it. So you're not caught, like, by surprise. And you don't get into, like, a death spiral of bad decision-making, you know, that ends up with you losing everything.
Yeah.
You know, but the way to achieve that is by me being mentally prepared and, you know, and practicing stoicism. Anyway, so, yeah, so that those first years in markets, there was a lot of ups and downs, lots of failures. I lost my life savings many, many times. But I never gave up, you know, I never quit.
If I dare to ask, how many times did you lose your life savings?
Oh, I mean, more than five, less than 10. You know, somewhere in there. And every time I did it, it was like I had no one to blame but myself.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day. I mean, I could blame the market all I want. I could blame my friends and family. I could blame all sorts of things. I could blame all sorts of things. But it's really just my fault.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't taking it seriously. I wasn't taking it the way that you should. I was risking too much. I was not maintaining discipline.
Yeah.
I was not following my own plans, or sometimes not making plans. And again, you know, the market's going to strip you naked and show you every single fault of yourself. That's what the market does. And it's up to you to rectify all those things. But yeah, definitely one of the worst, not one of the worst, but just the one that stands out to me the most as far as getting wrecked. And it was like not even the worst failure that I have experienced, because to me the worst failures that I've experienced in markets is when I lost all my savings, and that happened early on.
You know,
there was a point after you know, after like 2013, I started in 2008, after like 2013, 2014, I had at that point I got to the point where I never ever again like lost all my savings by being in the market, you know, ever, because I had learned enough. Like, I had gotten burned enough to know that you don't do that.
Yeah.
And what is it that you need to do in order for that not to happen to you? And I started implementing those things. But the one that stands out for me is the 2021, like spring 2021, like when Bitcoin broke 60,000 for the first time. And, you know, we were like in the middle of the bull market. And I personally was doing extremely well. You know, I was in heavy, heavy profit. And I knew that the bull market wasn't over, you know. I was very confident about that. And because of that overconfidence, I made the mistake of not following my own rules and my own investment plans. Mm. I didn't take enough and didn't take any profit at all during that run-up. So that when China banned the Bitcoin mining and the market tanked overnight, you know, and surprised everyone, I panicked. And in that panic, I made mistakes that snowballed into a seven-figure loss. And while it didn't take me out of the game, it stripped me naked one more time.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I've been doing that for like 10 years already and been profitable in the whole thing, but you never stop learning in markets. Yeah. And if you think that you know more than the market at any moment in time, or you think you're better than the market, or that you don't have to follow rules or something, like, you're about to get taught a real lesson. You know, you're just on your way to get taught a lesson at that point. So for me, that was like, that's the most recent one. But I'm very thankful for it, because the lessons that I learned over that summer of 2021 allowed me to do very well in the market since then. So I'm glad that, you know, and I'm sure there'll be, and I'm sure, as you know, I'm going to have other experiences. It's never ending. The market is a never ending journey of learning about yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that there'll be other revelations like that.
The market revealed to you that the greed inside of you hadn't left yet.
Yeah. Well, the market revealed to me that, you know, I was not just greedy, but also overconfident.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too, you know, my ego. It's like in Top Gun. Like, I don't know if you've seen Top Gun.
No.
But there's a line that the guy goes to Tom Cruise, like his commanding officer's like, you know what, Maverick? Like, your ego's writing checks your body can't cash.
that's a good one.
And that's what I was doing.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Your body's writing checks.
My ego was writing checks that my body can't cash. And that never ends well, you know? Yeah. So that's like the one that stands out the most, because it was like a big lesson for me. Because that was not the hardest experience of losing or having failure in the market for me. Those, again, like I said, those came earlier in my career. But it was one that, like, I thought I was over that already. I thought I had already
overcome those things. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the market taught me again a seven-figure lesson in that, hey, man,
you can
never take your eye off the ball. Mm-hmm. You take your eye off the ball even just for a second, I'll take all your money from you.
Yeah.
You know? Don't forget it.
The market is an unforgiving beast.
Oh, yeah. The market doesn't give a fuck about any of us, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so that's my story.
And you know what? Sadly, a good chunk of investors in crypto is retail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the market fucked with retail pretty hard.
But it's not about like retail or not retail.
Yeah.
I mean, look at these guys from Three Arrows Capital. They used to put, you know, God, that, yeah. They were like, yeah, smart money, you know? Like, those guys were not retail at all, and look at them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those guys probably can't even pay their rent right now.
No.
And they wrecked so many people as well. Like, it wasn't just them. Like, they took a bunch of people down with them, too.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
So, I read somewhere that a seven-figure loss is actually greed.
Yeah, in definitely.
The, yeah.
Yeah.
So, this is one greedy bunch here at Brainyield.
Yeah.
Because the guy had a seven-figure loss, and I myself also had a seven-figure loss right now in the markets. And it happened to me just like maybe a good number of you. I invested in some projects last year and some out projects. I started off with like $800, I want to say. And I saw those $800 balloon into an amount that I never thought possible. And back in November, I actually took a screenshot of this because in my mind, I was like, in the event that I get hacked or this just disappears, I want to have proof that I made seven figures in the market. And I actually have a picture.
Yeah. Do you have it like on your desk?
Or? I have it on my phone. I have it on my phone. And at the top, I had...
Like next to your baby pictures? I'm like...
You're such an asshole, man.
I'm sorry.
You're such an asshole, dude. I had at the top, it was like 1.8 million.
Nice.
At the top, 1.8 million. And a week later is when you called me and you're like, hey, man, cash out.
Yeah, and I remember that conversation.
And you even told me, you know what? Don't cash out the whole thing.
I even told you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't have to take the entire profit.
Just take
a partial profit. Who cares? If you're right, I remember what I said to you.
Yeah.
I was like, if you're correct and this project is going to like 10x from here, then you're still going to make a ton of money.
Yeah, you told me
you
that.
Know, you're still going to make a ton of money. So what's the issue?
I told you, I was like, no, you're going to see that. Because Bitcoin hadn't hit six figures and everybody and their mama was saying
that. That messed everybody up. Yeah, that really fucked everyone
up. So I'm like, no, the Kaisers are saying it. You know, like...
Yeah, everybody's saying.
Like, Snoop Dogg is...
Everybody.
Like, you know, so...
No, there was nobody in the market that didn't think at the beginning of the 2021, like, bull run, that wasn't confident that Bitcoin would hit six figures. There was almost no one. There was no analyst.
Yeah.
There was no hedge fund. There was no investor. You know, there was no one that didn't think that at the start.
So I had 1.8 million in my wallet.
Yeah.
And then I was heavily involved in these communities that tell you, hold, diamond hand. It's like, and they're like cults, by the way. So I'm holding my bags.
It's like gangs, like gang mentality.
Come on, like, just like, don't sell. Don't worry. We're going to 10X. And I'm like, man, if I can just 3X the 1.8 million, I'm done.
Yeah.
And you know what? Looking back, I was already done. 1.8 million from $800.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I was done. You had
but
done
I was
it.
Like, no, I'm gonna open up like a resort property. No way. I'm gonna do a school. I'm gonna give my mama this money. I'm gonna give my friends this.
Yeah.
No way. If I'm gonna win, my whole village wins.
Yeah.
Nobody's winning right now, by the way.
Yeah.
So I lost it. And when I lost, I walked out with five figures in a Bitcoin. So it was, I mean, again,
well,
I did pretty good, but
yeah,
still, the
because
potential.
Because your initial investment was just like $800.
Yeah.
So you took $800
and
ballooned it to $1.8 million.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was ridiculous.
And in that moment, you did not realize, like, the position that you were in.
No. Yeah.
Right? But you still did great, though. You know, you still came out with many, many multiples of that original investment.
But it was
which is the objective.
But it was my first time getting wrecked. I haven't been in this for a decade. You know, I've been buying Bitcoin and holding. So this is a whole experience for me.
Yeah.
So with that experience comes insomnia.
This is like, this was your first, like,
go at
actively trading.
No, with this experience comes insomnia. To this day, I'm replaying everything over and over again.
Mm.
And one of the things I worry about, and we have talked about, is, you know, I entered this and I ballooned this because I come with no experience, with nothing.
Right. Well, so we talked about how your lack of experience was, and your lack of knowledge was one of the things that allowed for the return to balloon to that level.
And
because we're... Other more experienced investors would have taken profits a little yes. earlier, or at least partial. And yeah, you don't make as much, sure, but you make more doing that.
You do.
Than allowing the investment just to go yeah. up, you know, until it reaches some magical number.
Yeah. So now my fear is mentally that's keeping me up at night is because I have these scars now. It's not about would I be able to identify another cocktail bar, another Flocky, another sure. ABC and D. Is will I have the courage to hold to see those numbers again? I don't know, and that keeps me up at night. And that messes with my mental health.
Yeah.
So let's go into tips. I'm gonna just give one tip that I learned,
all right.
and that hopefully the audience can take with them for the next bull run. Do not tell, and this is kind of weird, but I feel this is important. Do not tell your loved ones what to invest in as well.
Very important.
Because you're right. dealing with your own bag.
Right.
But when you're dealing with the phone calls of your mom, right. of your aunt, of A, B, C, and D.
You have to try to contain yeah. the wreckedness to just yourself.
Yeah.
And not like pass it on to others if you can.
Because if you told the whole village, guess what? Sunday's yeah. is going to be empty. Mama's not going to call you no more.
Yeah, because we're also yeah. trying to, we also want to hear in crypto, what we also want to do is get other people in, because there's a lot of, you know, crypto is not just about making money. Crypto can make the world a much better place.
Yeah.
It can really enhance our freedoms. And,
yeah.
And, you know, make the world a fairer place, more equal, more equality for everyone. Crypto has these,
yeah.
these powers. So we want people to come in and use like decentralized finance and save in Bitcoin, understand what hard money is, yeah. like understand like how the financial system works and get into like the social revolution aspects of this. You don't want to scare people away, you know, which you will if you are yeah. like shilling them like very risky, you know, investment opportunities that blow up on in their face. We're doing that is just delaying the adoption process.
Instead,
this wonderful technology.
Instead of telling them what to invest in with their money, tell them, hey, you know what? Just instead of that, why don't I recommend to you books for you to educate yourself?
Nobody wants to read books, Fab.
No, okay? I know, but you know what? Just okay, if not books, podcasts.
Sure.
YouTube.
Right.
But don't tell them what to put their money on, because if not, it's going to mess with you even yeah. more. That's all I'm saying. Don't yeah, tell them what to invest in, but tell them, look, I'm not going to go there. But if you want to learn about this so that you can make your own financial decisions, here you go. Here's my list. What's yeah. your tip?
I would say that, to me, the most important thing about investing, trading, is to understand that it's mostly about psychology. It's mostly about success comes when you are able to manage your emotions and keep to a discipline, keep to a plan, practice a stoic,
mm-hmm.
Have a stoic approach to what you're doing. And I'd say, you know, a little tip that I would mm-hmm. give that helped me was to understand that the profits are not yours until you remove them from exposure to the market.
Yes.
So.
Yes, yes.
You know, let's just say you went on Uniswap, you bought something, you know, you put in $500, it 100x'd on you, now you're sitting on a $50,000 profit in your wallet, and you might think that money's yours. You might think that, oh, wow, like, now I'm the owner of, like, $50,000, if
yeah.
you look at it, it's in my wallet, but it's not yours. Because if your intention is to put that money back into the market from that wallet, going back to Uniswap and continuing to put it at risk, it's not yours. It's not yours until you completely remove it from any type of risk whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean you have to put it in the bank. In fact, like you shouldn't put it in the bank because that's risky. But you should not put it back into. It's not yours until you 100% know that it's not going to be put at risk again. Maybe you bought a house with it, or
yeah.
or you know, took a vacation with it, or just put it in cold storage,
or cover your life expenses for a year,
or you know all these things where you
yeah.
do realize
mm-hmm.
where you realize the profit, right? And, you know, because until then, it's just unrealized gain, and it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the market. And the market will take it from you. And you're going to then suffer. Then what happens with that is that, like, then you have, like, it comes with an emotional toll, and it causes mental stress, because now you feel like you lost money. Like, you had those 50,000, and then you went back and kept trading.
Yeah.
And now you're like, down 50%, and you feel like you lost $25,000. But a trick that helps me is to just think of it that, like, well, that was never my money.
Yeah.
I never had $25,000. That's not mine. Yeah. That belonged to the market. I never took it out. I never realized that profit. And that helps, because what happens is that when you don't do that, it just, the mental stress, like, causes a snowball effect of bad decision making.
You go on tilt.
Yeah. Yeah, like in poker, it's called going on tilt. And it just ends in, like, you know, just getting wrecked. It always ends the same. So that's my tip. Just don't, remember, the money's not yours until you can actually, you know, until you're using it for something other than continuing to take risk.
Before we go, I want to say, if anybody out there is going through any type of depression, suicide thoughts, we are on Twitter. Feel free to send us a message. I will reply. The guy will reply. We're here for you, D-Gents.
Yeah. Yeah, at the end Brand of the day, tier. I mean, money is not, it's not the important thing.
Have a great week. Bye, y'all.